Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tommy Tucker, WWL, 647 and a half as we approach 7 o'clock. Going to be highs of 88 today, warm and humid that way through Friday, but then the front comes through Friday night. Saturday morning, you're going to wake up to breezy and cooler conditions, highs of 76. Then Saturday night, Sunday morning, and for the next couple of days after that, lows of 50 on the North Shore and 60 on the South Shore, and we can't wait. Gas prices have gotten a lot of people's attention lately. I don't really look at it because I need it, and there's nothing I can do about it. Eric Smith joins us, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, and our friend to talk about it. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How's everything there?
Everything's all right. How'd you do with the storm? How'd you and your home make out?
We did fine. My house is up on St. Charles, and it was pretty high ground, so we lost a couple of small trees, and, you know, lots of trash in the yard, but nothing serious to the house. So we were quite lucky.
Fine, everything's good?
Yep.
All right, thank God for that. So tell me about oil prices and gasoline prices. And is there one trend, or is this going to be like a roller coaster thing into the foreseeable future?
I think your roller coaster analogy is apt. I suspect what people don't realize is that there are a number of changes this time around that we didn't have to fight in earlier high-priced moments like in 2014, not least of which is the fact that both the European financial institutions and the U.S. financial institutions have put severe restrictions on lending to hydrocarbon-based industry. So if you thought that all of the independents in Texas were going to go out and borrow money so they could drill more wells, that's not likely to happen.
And that's an effort towards stemming oil and gas usage and with climate change, or what?
Yes, this is a worldwide effort to direct people more towards renewable energy and away from oil and gas. And, of course, what the engineers and economists keep saying is you have to do this over decades, not over months.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's listening. So they're doing what they want to do, and our president is busily trying to get the Saudis and the Russians, who, you know, together do more about setting prices than we do, to increase their output and reduce their prices. And, of course, they're not listening very much to what Mr. Biden has to say. So
what that's doing is punishing the consumer and trying to bring about some type of long-term change, but yet there's not anything to take its place right now and won't be for decades, correct?
That's right. And the other thing, of course, is we're coming out of a recession, so we're in a recovery mode. We've got less problems with the coronavirus. We've got sort of the Uri and Ida pretty much behind us. Of course, some people would argue that the roofs are still not there. And we seem to see a downturn on the verbal abuse between the Chinese and the Americans, which is probably a good thing. So all of those things are saying, you know, burn more oil and gas. And then, of course, we've got these guys with the proverbial finger in the dike saying, no, we don't want to lend money to those bad oil and gas people. So that's pretty where we stand. We've got the government has some tools they could use if they really wanted to get seriously obnoxious, including things like using the oil in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as a short stopgap. People have done that in the past. Bill Clinton used it, for example, and as did Bush in run-ups to elections to calm people down when the oil started hitting prices that drove gasoline up to $3. And that's kind of the magic number. People get upset at $3. So
is there a magic number when it comes to a trade-off between oil and gas and jobs in Louisiana and the price consumers pay at the pump? I've always wondered if there was any way to compute that, where yeah, it would
we see
win-lose-lose for both.
Yeah. Louisiana is atypical for most states, in their battle with air emissions and pollution are fighting transportation emissions, cars and trucks and airplanes, things like that. Maybe two-thirds of California's emissions are coming from transportation. Louisiana, it's the exact opposite. We've got two-thirds of our emissions coming from the petrochemical industry and the refining industry. They're legal emissions. They play by the rules, and they are, you know, working diligently to reduce those amounts. You know, I'm on the governor's task force, and there's a whole group of industrial people saying, well, we can try this, we can try that. But they don't have any short-term fixes. And as a result, when Louisiana sees a downturn in either oil and gas coming into the state or a downturn in employment in the refineries and petrochemical plants, Louisiana suffers big time. These are the best blue-collar and white-collar jobs we've got.
We only have 1 minute left. If you were going to buy a vehicle, would you factor in the price of gas and say, you know what, maybe now's not the time for the big old truck or the big old this or that, and I'm going to go economy, but yet I don't have to go as, you know, as small as a Fiat or something along those lines? I'm just curious from the consumer standpoint.
Well, I mean, in my case, we've got three drivers and two cars, so we're pretty virtuous, I suppose. We have a van and we have a small Honda Civic. So we have a town, sort of the town car. And then yesterday I was up in Baton Rouge and I got the big car to use. So that's our approach to it. I would tell people that it's probably premature to go spend the whole budget on electric cars. We don't have the system to get electricity to them. Entergy's not geared up for it. And we don't, you know, we're installing recharging stations, but we don't have them yet. So I would say go with whatever you're driving now, maybe a slightly slimmer version of it. But that would be my advice.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Professor Eric Smith at Tulane's Institute of Energy, 6:54, 6 before 7. Time for traffic now on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.